This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Start spreading the news. I'm leaving today. I want to be part of it. New York, New York. These vagabond shoes are longing to stray right through the very heart of it, New York, New York. I want to wake up in a city that doesn't sleep and find I'm king of the hill, top of the heap.
Oh yeah, you want to be king of the hill or top of the heap like Frankie was? Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with Big Ed Davis, thank you very much for joining us. Hey, is this like the start of the Thanksgiving week? You know, we begin our Thanksgiving plans. Many people doing that. Get ready to leave and go somewhere, although not as much as usual, right? In a few minutes, we will be talking with Ian Murray of the Competitive Enterprise Institute, and we're going to talk with him about America's ongoing political realignment, how certain groups are forsaking their old parties and adopting new ones and the whole bit. I think you're going to find it interesting. And the fight continues from the White House on keeping the presidency. Now that you hear that Donald Trump is meeting with Michigan lawmakers today, while his lawyers are claiming a large-scale conspiracy. You heard about that. We're going to talk about it. And other things with the proprietor of the Barber Poll, Andrew Ceraci himself, a little bit later. Stay tuned for that. And when can we get our COVID vaccine? When can we get it? Will we have it by next month? Maybe. And how many of us, by the way, once offered the vaccine, how many of us are really going to take it? You ever ask around? I think it's pretty amazing how many people have their doubts about taking the vaccine. So we'll talk about that as well. And in our ultimate top 10, last program we gave you the top 10 worst inventions of all time. Hey, I found 10 more. So we'll do worst inventions of all time part 2. Stay tuned for that. By the way, we are sponsored in part here at Freedom Works by Andrew's Master Barbershop. You guys, the best haircutter in Tampa Bay. Andrew, the master barber, he's located in Dunedin in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Call first for your appointment, 727-733-3773. And by the way, don't forget, start your day Monday through Friday. Good morning, America. Good morning, America. Good morning, Clearwater. They say good morning, America. I always say it. I should say good morning, Clearwater, right? Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. here on the Great Tantalk Radio Network. Paul and Tracy Allen. By the way, do you need a banner? Do you need, posters? Flyers? They do a beautiful job. I think Tracy does most of the work between you and me. I have a beautiful banner from them. So you can contact Paul and Tracy Allen. Call them right here, 866-826-1340. Get your banner. All right. Well, a lot of things going on as usual. Did you watch any of that press conference yesterday with Giuliani talking about their continuing the fight and that Sidney Powell lawyer? Did you watch any of that at all?
I didn't. I saw a couple of spots there. I heard it was so hot in there, his hair was bleeding.
Apparently, he had hair dye.
Yeah.
He doesn't have that much hair to worry
about.
We
all know that now.
Boy, it was kind of going down. That was kind of a, I don't know. It's like You don't do that. I that's unclassy. That, you want to be honest? It was unclassy.
See, if he had Andrew do it, it would have done right, been done right.
Andrew would give you such a haircut you wouldn't need it. Anyway, President Trump's personal attorney, Rudy Giuliani, was aggressively making the case yesterday for the legal challenge by the president of the election results. He is saying that there is a centralized plan. In other words, Rudy Giuliani is calling on the conspiracy factor. Centralized plan to carry out voter fraud. Now, we need the evidence. But what he said is, what I'm describing to you is a massive fraud. At one point, he was telling a reporter who was, I guess, talking back in some way or other that, hey, you're lying. His descriptions largely entailed the fact that in different states with that software program, and then there was a centralized place where they might be able to flip a switch or two and change voting. Now, they're going to have to go to court. And I was thinking this, why not go to court first and file these complaints and then do the news conference? I always kind of wonder when somebody pulls a news conference before they go to court, is time not of the essence right now to get all of this stuff done before they certify the election? I would be in court instead of wasting my time in front of a camera. So I'm not so sure about all of this, you know? It's almost like, are they throwing it up against the wall to see what sticks? Is that the moment we're at right now? So where is the specific evidence? You can say, you know, you can say that all kinds of people are, you know, on the Democratic side of the aisle are lurking behind the equipment. You can say that, but that doesn't make it true. You got to provide evidence. Are people going to come out and say, yes, George Soros was in the room when they flipped the switch? You know, I was there and I saw it. That's evidence, if you got somebody first-person evidence. But so far, not so much. Now, in the meantime, Trump is meeting with Michigan lawmakers today. It'll be at the White House. And apparently his strategy is to convince Republican-controlled legislatures in places like Michigan to set aside the results and focus in, I guess, on was there any hanky-panky going on? Well, we've talked about this before. I think in every inner-city precinct in this country, you can probably think that there's a little bit of hanky-panky going on. The problem is that it's been going on so consistently and so long that they've got it down to a science. Sure, in Philadelphia, I'm sure there was some trouble. I bet there was trouble in Milwaukee. And all of the, I bet there was trouble in Miami, even though, you know, Trump won the state of Florida. I think there's trouble in every inner city. I wouldn't trust them as far as I can throw them. These are all Democratic-run places. And they continue to make sure that they win the votes and stay in office locally. And the same people that are playing the game, I think, with that are also playing the game on the presidential level as well. The trick is to catch them in the act. Now, apparently there's a couple of certifiers in Michigan that have been intimidated. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Into certifying the election when they didn't really want to. They were Republican certification people. But I don't know. It doesn't look good for Trump. Let's be honest. I think sounds like they're going to take him out kicking and screaming, but they'll take him out nonetheless at this point. We'll see what happens. We're going to take our break. Hey, and when we come back, Ian Murray of the Competitive Enterprise Institute.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best haircutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting. Beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
Tune in to Old East Channel Radio every Friday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. Do you remember the 50s, 60s, and 70s? Well, we'll be playing the greatest hits as well as plenty of songs from the B-side. This show is sure to bring back memories. So pull out your record collection, adjust your antenna, and listen to Old East Channel Radio Fridays from 7 to 9 p.m. right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Varshu.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets, from animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. I'm delighted to have back our old friend Ian Murray. He's Vice President for Strategy and Senior Fellow at the Great Competitive Enterprise Institute. He's penned off a piece about America's political realignment. And, you know, it has been going on. And he likes to point out certain things that have been taking place. And he says that the recent election has given us even more data as to what is going on. And what's and where America is going. Ian, welcome back. Tell us a little bit about what you are intending to say about the political realignment right now in America.
Well, first of all, thanks for having me back on.
Of course.
It's great to be back with you. The political realignment is something that people have noticed that's happened in recent years. People used to vote for a party based on primarily on economic issues. So do you want more government control of the economy or less government control of the economy? That was how people voted for decades. And then it looked in the 1990s like that question had been settled, and people started voting more on social issues. Then came the war, the Iraq war, and then came the financial crisis, and people went back to economics. But around the time of the 2016 election, something strange happened. A lot of places that would previously have voted Democrat down the line on a tribal basis, they switched and started voting consistently for President Trump and for the Republicans. And meanwhile, a lot of people in the more affluent areas who had always voted Republican, they switched as well. So the question is, what was going on there? And a lot of people who looked at this issue, and I'm one of them, thought that the new axis along which people voted wasn't economic anymore. It was identity. Do you consider yourself an American first and foremost, or do you believe that that you're a cosmopolitan, a citizen of the world, a globalist?
Yeah, that's a good point.
And that's what seemed to be the main shape of the electorate coming into this election.
Yes. Yeah, I think you make a good point about that. Yeah, I mean, look at the union people. We always thought of them as Democrats. And it was for them, dinner table issues in many cases. They wanted more money and they wanted, to continue their strength. But that dissipated. And like you said, we started looking into social issues. And then we had the people that were, the word globalist, I guess, has been around for a while. We've had the conspiracy thing, the New World Order. That was one of those things going on for quite a while. It goes all the way back to George H.W. Bush. I would hear about that. But in the, lurking underneath all of this, I wonder, globalists, I think of people that are pursuing a socialistic agenda to some point. Your thought on that?
Well, yeah, I think that this is where the data from the recent election really does help us. And of course, I should say that this is preliminary data from the exit polls and so on. So, we can't be 100% certain of that. But it looks like the globalist wing of the progressive movement, the progressive wing of the globalist movement, should I say, that seemed to have gained control of a lot of the party policies that the Democrats were putting forward, and quite a few people who didn't like the president didn't necessarily consider themselves American first and foremost. They thought of themselves more as more cosmopolitan, more pluralist. They looked and they saw this socialist wing sort of taking control of the policy apparatus, and they said no. We're not going to vote for that. We don't like the president for whatever reason. We're not going to vote for him, but we are not going to vote for all these new socialist radicals who are popping up down ticket. And so I think that helps explain a lot of the split right. ticketing that we saw going on in the recent election.
Indeed. We're talking with Ian Murray. He is vice president for strategy at the Great Competitive Enterprise Institute. We're talking about America's political realignment. Ian, has the pandemic also playing a factor in the realignment, or is that just an unnecessary evil or whatever?
I think this is one of those areas where your identity actually, how you identify actually sort of dictates your reaction to the pandemic. I think the nationalist wing say we believe in freedom. This country was founded on freedom. You're not going to lock us up. You're not going to lock us down. You're not going to force us to wear masks. And the globalists look around and they say, oh, well, other countries are doing this perfectly fine. Look at all the masks that are being worn in Europe and the Far East. It's no problem. We can do that. So I think this central question of identity actually helps dictate how you react to the pandemic rather than the other way around.
Yeah, indeed. I just wonder, now they've announced, of course, that this vaccine is all but ready, sounds like they're almost ready to go, and we may be seeing people getting it by the end of December. And I'm thinking, gee, I wonder if it had been announced like 10 days before the election rather than now, how it could have changed everything. Of course, you don't know. We still are apparently going to be seeing a lot of court action from the White House. But I just think about all of that. And I also think, well, how much of that of the virus played a role in who voted for who? Now we look at the undercard, and the undercard tends to show, those that were, more, I guess you could say, more nationalistic, I guess, or more Republican, winning seats in both houses of Congress. Kind of, I don't know. Hard for me to sift out everything. What do you think, Ian?
Well, I think one of the really interesting things here is how people voted who were from immigrant families from countries that have suffered from socialism. Mm-hmm. You look at the Hispanic vote in Florida and South Texas, and it went Republican in a way. It didn't go majority Republican, but it went Republican in a way that it had never gone before. And that's despite all the rhetoric about children in cages and the rest that the socialist and progressive wings of the Democrat Party had used. So I think that there's clearly a group that I would call the new conservatives there.
Mm-hmm.
They still believe in America as a land of aspiration. They believe that they're motivated not by resentment but by hope for the future, and they don't want to see America go down the way of the countries that they and their families have fled from. So I think that there's a great deal of hope there. That if the Republicans can, you know, really capture this block, then that provides a massive bulwark against socialist policies.
What do you think when it comes to socialist policies? Do you think people are becoming more educated again? For a long time, a lot of us thought, you know, people are kind of ignorant about socialism, but it's kind of reared its head, has it not? And you mentioned the Cubans and the South Americans, I guess, Central Americans. In particular, that have undergone a taste of socialism in their countries and have come over. They're the hardcore, I guess you could say they're more hardcore nationalists than even, you know, American-borns, are they not?
I would definitely agree with that. You say that people have to relearn the lessons of socialism. I just wrote a book called The Socialist Temptation, which looks at how this disease of socialism has crept back into our national discourse. And one of the things I noted there was that the young college graduate in America thinks that real socialism has never been tried. You know, this is something you hear from them all the time. That this wasn't real. The Soviet Union wasn't real socialism. You know, Venezuela isn't real socialism. But then you have people who have actually experienced this real socialism and have come here, and they know real socialism.
Exactly.
Has been tried.
You know, the utopian socialism works. It's just that we can't find the country to make it work in. You know, that's so crazy. I mean, you go back to Karl Marx and Lenin, and, you know, they had all these grandiose ideas. Of course, when you try to put it into practice, you come up with something that always will screw it up, human behavior.
Well, indeed, and with the inherent contradiction of socialism, which is why I laugh whenever I hear AOC or somebody call herself a democratic socialist, is that socialism cannot be democratic at all. It always imposes a new ruling class. We've just seen in Venezuela, there was a story today about how a former supporter of President Maduro down there had started on his radio show, had started relaying tales about how Maduro and his colleagues were hoarding the petroleum, the gasoline, for themselves. And he was visited in the middle of the night, beaten up in front of his family, and then found dead in the morning wearing a Che Guevara T-shirt.
That's terrible.
That's the sort of thing that happens all the time.
Generation after generation of socialist countries have gone through that. You can go back, obviously, to Russia and see all of that going on. They were at each other's throats just a few years after the 1917 revolt, knocking each other off. It was like, I don't know why people don't, of course, we don't teach that kind of history anymore, do we?
No, we don't, which is one of the reasons why I say that anybody who's interested in socialism should read, it's a very short read, should read George Orwell's Animal Farm,
right,
which is the best allegory for what happens under socialism that I know of.
In fact, that book was, when I was in high school, excuse me, that book was one of the things on our reading list. And I'll bet it's not on the reading list of any high schools, at least in the public sector high schools these days, you know. That's another thing. We've kind of drained, squeezed the socialism issue out of our educational system while practicing it. Do you know what I mean?
I'm very glad to say that my son actually had to read Animal Farm last year as part of his high school course. So there are still some high schools in the country that do it, but 1984 has dropped off the reading list, unfortunately.
Yes.
And that's the longer read from George Orwell, which is worth it. But it's some very unfortunate that we don't really teach our children economics, for instance,
mm-hmm.
and you know. Economics 101 is, everybody can do that at high school. And if they did that, then they would realize that socialism can't work. But unfortunately, we don't teach children economics either.
Yeah, it's just, it scares me to death. I want to push your book again. It's still out, is it not? The Socialist Temptation?
Absolutely. Still out. Still there on Amazon, if you wish it. And I think in many local bookstores.
Oh, wonderful. The Socialist Temptation. Oh, I like that. I like that title. Well, Ian, as always, thank you so very much, my friend. I hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
Indeed. A very blessed Thanksgiving to you and all your listeners.
Thank you, Ian. Ian Murray of the Competitive Enterprise Institute. Great guy. Great guy. All right, we're going to take our break. When we come back, the fight continues from the White House. Now Trump is talking with Michigan lawmakers, and he's got his lawyers out there spreading the word that there's trouble brewing. We'll talk about it. We'll talk about it with Andrew Ceraci.
My heart goes round and round. My love's gonna tumble me down. You leave me breathless.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best hair cutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen, and I'm the host of Good Morning Clearwater. We are found right here on the Tantalk Network, 1340 AM and 106.1 FM, Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM. We will concentrate on Pinellas County and focus on Clearwater and Clearwater Beach. Weather, traffic, local and national current events, sports, trivia contests, and plenty of giveaways. We want to show the world why Clearwater Beach was voted number one beach in America. Listen up every Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM to Good Morning Clearwater.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Friday. I guess people start making their Thanksgiving, getting ready for their Thanksgiving week today. I guess a lot of people might be packing up the car and going somewhere, although so many people are warned in all these different states, many states, not all of them, say, stay home and don't go out.
How about the CDC coming out yesterday and saying, don't fly?
Yeah, well, what's up with that?
That's nice.
I'll bet the airline industry really loved hearing that.
Christmas card. And the week before that, there was a study, I guess the doctors were saying, people that are afraid to fly, that they're wrong because the airlines, that air inside the cabin
safer.
is filtered and recycled and filtered and it's probably the safest place you can be.
You know,
now you got a guy saying don't fly.
It's interesting because I used to think that it wasn't. I used to think.
Right, I thought it was stale air.
Exactly, or that they were refiltering. Let's say somebody had a cold or a cough, right? And somehow that stuff got into the system and the vents and came back into your place, area, or your seat. But I guess not. I guess they actually do kind of clean it out. Huh?
Yeah, it's pressurized, so it has to recycle the same air.
Yeah.
So there is a filter for it, you know.
I am planning on being out of town next week. I am flying, and I wonder even if they're going to like test you when you go to the airport before you get on the plane or something. But I don't think they do that. So
it's nice that they don't sell the middle seat. You don't have to worry
that's the other thing.
You don't have to worry about sitting next to
How would you like to be squeezed between two people right now with the virus? I don't think so. You know, sitting there for 3 hours, no way. Hey, listen, we got the proprietor of the barber pole, and he's with us, and we're going to talk a little bit about all of these things going on. Andrew, do you think Sidney Powell, one of Donald Trump's attorneys, and Rudy Giuliani, they got up yesterday and they were making the case? What do you think?
I watched the whole thing, Paul, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw Sidney Powell getting pretty emotional at what she was talking about. Okay? And I don't doubt Sidney Powell. She's not going to come out and say something. But she did say, I'm not going to give everybody the evidence right now. I am saving it for the court. Because, you know, if she did sit out there and say, well, we got this and this, right away the media is going to be on it. I don't blame her for not saying nothing.
I don't either, but I'm wondering this. I mentioned it earlier in the show. Why don't they go to court first and then hold a news conference rather than the other way around?
Well, maybe because they feel that people are on edge and wondering what's going on a little bit. They just made them put a little bit of ease in their mind that this is going on.
Yeah.
That's what I think, Paul.
Okay.
But like I say, I don't blame her at all for not saying nothing because the media would blast everything apart and ruin their cases. Try to anyway.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Mm-hmm.
No.
I was talking with one of my family members, actually, when the news conference was going on yesterday. And she was so excited for Trump. She thought, boy, this is great breaking news. You know, they can connect to George Soros, and they can connect to wherever it was, Germany.
Well, let's you know what I want to know is who's got those servers from Frankfurt, Germany. That's what I want to know. Did the good guys get them, or did the bad guys get them?
Now, and then you hear from the company, and they go, what are they talking about? We have nothing to do with Germany. All of this is American. I mean, who are you to believe, Andrew? Who are you to believe?
Well, I don't believe corporate America for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do, you're a fool. Corporate America will slice your throat to get to their bottom line no matter what.
Yeah. Okay. You and I have talked many times about inner city voting, and I think we both agree there's a lot of hanky-panky. It's been going on forever, you know, in the inner cities. I mean, think about it this way. Where is most of the crime being committed? Well, unfortunately, most of the crime is being committed in the inner cities, right? So if most of the crime is going on in the inner cities, why wouldn't that affect the voting in the inner cities as well, right?
It would. Crime is there.
Yeah.
There's no question about it.
So,
you know, Paul, mm-hmm. I was listening to you talking to the gentleman on a second ago, and he was
Murray.
Talking about the restructure of America.
Yeah.
Now, you know, I was the firstborn, first generation in this country from Sicilian immigrants. And I was taught how good this country was to respect it because my parents came from, what would you call it, a fascist country at the time?
That's right.
Okay?
Yeah.
And they came from here, and my father made me put that. As a matter of fact, my father was 30 years old when he went into World War II, went back to his old country to fight for his freedom here.
Wow.
And he made me put that American flag up in his yard every day. Matter of fact, my father took 2 bullets and a lot of shrapnel for this country.
God love him.
And had nightmares every night of his life till the day he died of the battles he was involved in.
And they are the most patriotic, are they not? The real, true Americans are people like your father that knew what they got when they came to America, could appreciate it.
That's why I'm going to say right now, God bless the Latinos. Because, you know, after my generation, a lot of us are first generation from European countries, okay? And we all learned to love this country and respect it. But the last 2 or 3 generations of so-called American people are spoiled rotten. They felt that they had to give their children better than they had because they had nothing when they came here.
Mm-hmm.
And they worked hard, okay? And then you got 2 and 3 generations of so-called Americans that are lazy, they're fat, they don't want to do anything in life, they'll sit there and play their video games all day, and they've been programmed in the schools not to like this country. They're bringing them into socialism, okay? Now you got the Latinos that came here from a country that was socialist, they had nothing, and they loved this country. And you know what? It's going to be the Latinos that will save this country, I believe, not the Americans. The Americans will take it down.
Right. You know, in anything, I always worried about the second and third generation of a family. The hardest workers gave a lot to their kids, right? Because
they gave it all, Paul.
They did. And then those kids kind of got used to getting it without making the same effort their parents did. That's why I always worry about it. So it's the same thing with, I think, our political ideology to some extent. The ones that have fought the wars, like in World War II, like your father and so many others, could appreciate. And you got a taste of, you kind of got a taste of what your dad went through in your talks with him. So you kind of, maybe you maintain that patriotism through your dad. But then after that, you know, it's like each generation, there's less and less of the connection.
Paul, I still have old customers that come in my shop. They're 90 years old or so. They're the last of the World War II generations. And these people saved all their life. They probably have $1 million in the bank. And you know what they worry about? They worry about making sure their kids are set in life and leaving it to them.
That's
and you know
right.
what their kids are going to do? They're going to blow it like crazy. Because they got no respect for what it was and what it is. Let me tell you something. I'm burning every freaking dime I've got before I die. And let my kids go out and learn. Believe me when I tell you.
I tell you what, I have a bumper sticker for you, if I can find it. My dad had it. Retired and spending my children's inheritance.
That's right. And I'll tell you what, that's what needs. These American kids need to be out on the street today and learn what it's like instead of sitting in their rooms, playing their video games. Look at the young generation today, how they dress, how they look. I'm going to say 50% of them, Paul, aren't going anywhere in life.
It's sad. They have a sort of an immature take on it, do they not? They've never grown up. In a way,
no.
You know, you got to knock the bird out of the nest for it to survive. If it stays in the nest, it won't.
That's right. There's no question about it, Paul. And that's what's going on today. And, you know, as far as what's going on with this election, I'm hearing Democrats already moaning that voted for Biden. Oh, but what are you talking about? You're going to shut down the country again. I mean, everybody's going to wear masks again.
Right.
If I would have known this, I wouldn't have voted for him.
Hey,
that's the people today. You know what? These people that voted for Biden, I can't wait to hear them if he gets in. Why is my gas $4.50 a gallon? But what's going on with this?
It's a Pollyannish thing. We're going to wipe the slate clean, and now we're really going to get something that I want done. By the way, I want to let you a thought on this. The Center for Disease Control says, you know where the safest place is for kids? Schools. They are safer in their schools. And yet places like New York State now, Cuomo's announced that he's shutting them down again. And people are reacting negatively to that.
Well, you know, Paul, the CDC comes out with something different every week.
Mm-hmm.
I have no confidence in the CDC.
True.
Anybody does is crazy. One day the masks are good. The next day they're no good. The kids are safe in school. You know why they're saying the kids are safe in school? Because the parents in New York are ready to burn the place down because they want their kids in school.
I think you're
right.
They
changed their mind with everything, Paul. I wouldn't listen to them for nothing.
Okay, so let me ask you this. There's very good news on the COVID vaccine. I think there's even maybe a third company, drug company involved. So when that comes out, Andrew, are you going to get in line and get the vaccine?
No, Paul. Let them experiment with all these vaccines they want on anybody else. Let them give it to the other world. I've survived this long with the COVID, but the Lord wants me, he'll take me.
Ooh. Well, don't you think maybe the Lord would help a little more if you had the vaccine?
No, I don't think so,
no?
Paul.
Well, you may not remember it because you may not be old enough, but in the 50s, the polio vaccine.
I was one of the first ones to get it, Paul.
Okay, so now you know what I'm talking about.
Right, I had friends that had polio.
Yes, didn't we all? And so you were, of course, you were just a child then, but looking back on it, if you were an adult, would you give it to your child, the polio vaccine? Probably yes, right?
I don't know, because nowadays you hear so much about the injections that we had when we were kids, what caused autism, what caused this. You don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know. Granted, modern medicine has come a long way, don't get me wrong. But I don't trust anything this government tells me.
Even Fauci says, and he's kind of with Trump, he's lauding the merits of these vaccines that are coming out.
Fauci. How do you even say he's with Trump?
Well, I know. Okay. He's back and
this
forth.
This guy used to hold Hillary Clinton's hand and rub her feet. Give me a break. Paul, I don't trust none of them. I'm sorry.
Okay.
You know, the only person telling the truth about everything that's going on is Trump. And the people don't listen to him because they don't want to hear the truth.
Well, he was touting that the vaccine was around the corner. He was also touting the kids should be in school. Even the New York Times now says Trump was right about the school issue, that the kids should be in school. And it's funny, I was watching Governor Cuomo. He was getting it from one of the reporters, and he got upset when the reporter was asking him, you know, everybody's confused about what you're trying to do with the schools. And you're closing, what's going on, you know? And Cuomo got real upset with
Cuomo needs to be slapped, Paul. The guy's nothing but a piece of poop.
Okay. Now, I want to ask you about this. Thanksgiving is coming up. I kind of remember we talked about this last Thanksgiving. You've got some family members that happen to be on the other side of the aisle, right?
That's
now, are you going to be having Thanksgiving with them again? And indeed, if that is the case, will the turkey be tossed across
the dinner
table?
Well, Paul, what I did is I invested a little bit of money. You know when you sit in the airplane and they tell you about the oxygen mask to drop out of the ceiling?
Yeah.
Well, what I did is as I went out and I bought that whole rig and I put it over the dining room table. And we got a tank of oxygen in the corner.
Uh-huh.
And we're all going to put those masks on and sit around and talk with the oxygen flowing. We got nothing to worry about.
Oh, that's wonderful. So that's the COVID situation. I guess I was also wondering about what would the dinner conversation be like considering what is going on right now with some of your liberal family members?
We'll find out. The liberal family member won't be here, but the governor's parents will be here having dinner. So I'm quite sure we'll have a lot to talk
really?
About.
Oh, really? Seriously?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Yes. For those of you that don't know, Ron DeSantis' father, is Ron Sr., good friends with the Master Barber. I've met him. He's a wonderful man, by the way.
So... Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I was saying. Everybody says, well, if you got more than 15 people, are the police going to come over? I says, I don't know if I got anything to worry about or
I don't
not.
Think
we'll
you
find
got,
out.
I don't think you got much to worry about. How about the California governor telling everybody not to associate? Then they...
Him and Cuomo went to the same school, didn't they?
California, that Governor Nuisance? Or Newsom, yes.
Newsom and Cuomo went to the same school
I
together.
Bet they did.
School of morons.
Oh, my goodness. Well, it's always a delight, my friend, to talk with you. You're still keeping the faith that there is a chance that...
Paul, I'm keeping the faith that if there's fraud in this election, it comes out. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm keeping the faith for, because what's happening is disgusting. I still don't believe for the life of me that America is that stupid that 75 million people voted for the other moron.
Indeed.
Yeah, but I want to know, if there was corruption in this country, it needs to go. They got rid
of
the mob, didn't they, in New York at a certain time because of organized crime? Well, we don't need organized crime in our government, Paul.
No,
as far as I'm concerned, I see it.
Absolutely right. I agree with you 110%. And let's get everything into the sunshine. Let's find out what's going on. We got to save our system of government.
I don't care if there's an inauguration on January 20th. I don't care. I want to know what is going on, period.
Good point, my friend. All right. Well, we will be talking with you again on Monday. I hope you have a wonderful weekend. And
One quick question.
Yeah.
What would happen if 72 million Americans didn't file income tax?
Oh, my goodness. We would have havoc.
Wouldn't that be a beautiful thing, Paul? Wouldn't that be beautiful under the Biden administration?
Well, would you want to see a complete collapse of our American system? I don't know.
If that's what's going on, we're seeing a collapse of our American system, aren't we?
I'm not sure. And, you know, let's put it this way. If those two Senate seats in Georgia are kept by Republicans, we have a Republican Senate majority. What can Biden do? He can try executive orders, but then it goes before the Supreme Court, which is 6-3 conservative.
I want to know if they're going to have armed guards counting the ballots, Paul.
Oh, I see. The ballots.
Okay. Uh-huh. I don't trust none of it, Paul.
Yeah. One of these days, we're going to have to get the videotape machines going, you know, in every precinct so you can see exactly what they're doing.
got to do something, partly. Paul, because what oh, now is corrupt and it's taking the country down.
Yeah. All right, my friend. Thank you so much. May the Trump be with you, and we will talk with you again on Monday.
You got it, buddy. Talk to you later.
All
Trump
right.
be with you.
Okay, thank you. The Master Barber. He's not giving up. He wants to see America righted, I guess you might say. All right, going to take our break. When we come back, when can we get our COVID vaccine?
In the treetop all the day long, popping and a-popping and a-singing his song. All the little birds on Jaybird Street love to hear the robin go tweet, 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 rockin' robin.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best haircutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen, and I'm the host of Good Morning Clearwater. We are found right here on the Tantalk Network, 1340 AM and 106.1 FM, Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM. We will concentrate on Pinellas County and focus on Clearwater and Clearwater Beach. Weather, traffic, local and national current events, sports, trivia contests, and plenty of giveaways. We want to show the world why Clearwater Beach was voted number one beach in America. Listen up, every Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM to Good Morning Clearwater.
Join Joe Pippin for Ask an Attorney Radio Show, Saturday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m. Ask an Attorney is Florida's longest-running radio show for over 35 years now. So if you've got a question for an attorney, call Joe Pippin during his live radio show. Ask a question. Get an answer. Free of charge, of course. Saturday mornings, live from 8 to 9 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Or to contact Joe Pippin directly, call 727-586-3306.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back. We are back for the final segment, Freedom Works. By the way, Monday, Tuesday, Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the great Tantalk Radio Network. We are here. But if you cannot listen to us live, thanks to Big Ed, you can listen to our podcasts. Just go to OurFreedomWorks.com. OurFreedomWorks.com. Click on the podcast button and select. Okay, we've got a couple of things here. The governors of a certain number of states are tightening the screws once again as we approach Thanksgiving. California, Maine, Rhode Island, New Hampshire, and Arkansas governors joined a slew of other states in announcing new limits on where residents can go, and also what they can do and when. So, as an example, Governor Gavin Newsom, he who had sat down and got caught commingling without masks at some, I think it was somebody's birthday bash.
Oops.
Oops is right. He ordered that all counties in the state's purple tier. They got different color codes. You know these people that sit around, these bureaucrats that sit, I bet they have the time of their lives doing this stuff. Okay, let's make this county purple.
That's why people don't follow them, because the guys that are preaching get caught.
They're the biggest hypocrites, aren't they?
Yeah, people are like, any other person would say the same thing. Why should I do if they won't do it?
Cuomo's been caught. His brother's been caught. Pelosi's been caught. Newsom's been caught. It's really funny to see them, you know, saying one thing and doing another. Mm-hmm. It's so crazy. So they order in California, all counties in the purple tier or higher have to be safely at home between 10 p.m. and 5 a.m. And they cannot leave their residences for anything besides essential work. can't even go to the grocery store.
Wow.
You know, although by 10 p.m. you're usually done.
But those people that work days.
There you go. Also, real quickly, we got to get to the to the Bucks. Who are they playing? Are they going to win it?
Monday Night Football, home against the Rams.
Oh, Monday night? Oh, that'll be fun.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think they still have a Super Bowl shot?
Yes.
If they do play the Super Bowl, isn't it?
They are 7-3.
Yeah, they're doing good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they'll play it here. Wouldn't that be great?
Mm-hmm.
What a home field. It's too bad we won't have any fans there to give them.
Well, we'll see. There's even talk of moving it back to March, the Super Bowl.
Oh, really?
To accommodate the great Joe Biden being inaugurated in January.
Kidding.
And then the vaccine. He will come up with the vaccine distributing, and everybody will be okay.
Oh,
and
the numbers are going
to fall, and America's going to prosper again.
There we go.
And I got hairy legs.
And he'll be able to sit at the pool and look at his hairy legs.
No, that'll be wonderful too.
Okay. All right. It is time for our top 10. Ed, we had the time of our lives, at least I did, giving the top 10 on Tuesday. World's worst inventions. Well, I got this. These aren't as funny yet, but I think we'll enjoy them. These are top 10 worst inventions, part two. You ready?
Yep.
Here we go. Number 10. Bluetooth pet rock. Doesn't do a damn thing. Yeah, Bluetooth. Yeah, I'm not kidding. The 1970s pet rock craze. The Bluetooth pet rock is a rock with a Bluetooth connection. And like the original, it does nothing. Okay, number 9. And I had one of these. The Ford Pinto is number 9. You know, remember
oh,
with all
God,
the, they
yeah,
had all
yeah.
those
we
problems.
Had, we had one, too.
Them.
Yeah, with the gas tank, yeah.
Exactly right. Number 8. Oh, this is great. The walking sleeping bag. There appears to be a market for walking sleeping bags, but you have to wonder why. Let's see.
Until your feet get tangled up and you fall on your face.
I mean, I don't even want to go into it. All right, number 7. Oh, this is important, the fish training kit. Did you know that there was a guy by the name of Dean Pomerleau, a doctor, who actually had a training kit? You could get it on Amazon to receive a 45-minute DVD along with a feeding wand, training field, base platform, and other paraphernalia. Yeah, right. You're going to train your goldfish. Number 6, DDT. Remember the pesticide DDT?
Yes.
I remember they used to go down the street with this big truck.
Yep.
And spray it. It was a big fog.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That was for the Medfly or something, wasn't it?
And mosquitoes.
Yeah.
Mosquitoes, big time. Number 5. Oh, this is important. Writing in the shower. What if you come up with a great idea and you're standing there naked in the shower? You got to have something to write with. Right?
Or your phone rings in the shower and you need to take the number down.
Correct. Yeah. I don't want to go any further with it, but I'm just thinking. I guess you also have to have a waterproof pad also, because you're not going to turn off the spigot. Okay. Mm-hmm. Number 4. Spam. You know what that is, Ed? Spam?
Yeah.
It's like a kind of ham, mushy in a can. Spam. Well,
you know, that's a delicacy. Everything is made out of spam in Hawaii.
Is it really?
Oh, yes. Everything.
No kidding.
Yeah.
That's strange. I wonder why.
Yeah.
Okay, number 3. Tanning beds. Remember those?
Oh, yeah. They're still around.
Yeah, they are still around.
Why is that a bad invention?
I mean, are they still
around? Those things were booming.
Yeah, but you can get cancer.
Oh, that's so that you can get cancer from drinking milk if you hit them on the right day.
I guess so. So did you ever have a tanning bed thing?
I did. I never had one. I used to go religiously.
I mean, if you experienced it.
Yeah.
Okay, number 2. Hydrogen blimps. They were big in the 20s and 30s, and then one exploded in 1937 in Lakehurst, New Jersey, and killed a lot of people.
Never recovered.
That's right. Number 1, real quick. Spray-on hair in a can.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
Yep.
Oh, my God.
Fix that hole in no time. Of course, unless you're
Giuliani.
Giuliani.
Giuliani was using
it. Don't sweat at a press conference if you're using it.
Freedom works. We'll be back Monday.